Welcome to Detroit Lions News Podcast. I'm your host, Joe Chapp, and today we're going to go over a lot of Detroit Lions stuff. Obviously, we got another pod on Thursday. We'll be talking Lions football, Lions over 49ers, and the NFC Championship. Who knew we would be here on NFC Championship weekend talking football? I'm sure we expected a playoff win. I'm sure we expected them to play well. But we didn't think the way that the playoffs broke, where you got an extra home game. You played the Rams and the Buccaneers back to, you know, you played the Rams first and you played the Buccaneers. Now you got a chance to go to the Super Bowl against the San Francisco 49ers in San Francisco. We'll talk a lot about that and more on the podcast, so please stay tuned. We're also going to have a lot of stuff, so please stay with me. All right, so let's get to it. Obviously, if you're new to the podcast, we're going to be on Spotify and Apple. So if you miss any part of the show, you can go to Apple and Spotify and go to the podcast on there. We're going to talk about – the first thing I want to talk about is the PFF grades. So the offensive PFF grades, Penei Sewell is the top overall in the PFF grades for offense. Taylor Decker is second. Jonah Jackson's third. That's a big loss. We're going to talk about that on this pod as well. Jahmyr Gibbs fourth. Frank Ragnow, what a warrior this guy is. Look at this. All-pro center Frank Ragnow suffered both a sprained knee and a sprained ankle in Sunday's win over the Bucs, sources say. Ragnow missed a few plays and somehow went back in. He's expected to play in the NFC Championship game. So if you go back to it, he played pretty freaking well for being hobbled. Amon-Ra St. Brown was sixth overall. Sam LaPorta was seventh. Josh Reynolds, eighth. Jared Goff, ninth. And Craig Reynolds, 10th. Overall, the Detroit Lions played a damn good game. And look, I think when we went into halftime, I think everyone was a little bit skeptical. 10-10 at the half. I want to know your feedback and your thoughts on it. But I thought the Detroit Lions played a damn good game in the first half. I felt like it was back and forth. The thing that set it apart was Jared Goff in the fourth quarter. Look at these stats. Since week 10, including the playoffs, pass yards per game in the fourth quarter, he's first in the NFL. Completion percentage, 73.9%. That's first in the NFL. Pass TDs, seventh. That's tied for first in the NFL. And passer rating, 113.7. That's first in the NFL. When you have a quarterback that is good in the fourth quarter, you can't imagine how big that is for the team. You can't imagine how big that is for the whole franchise. And more importantly, when you have a quarterback that you can count on in the fourth quarter, that is the biggest thing that any team could ever want. You know, there's a lot of quarterbacks in this league. And there's a lot of quarterbacks in this league that don't get it done in the fourth quarter. You earn your money as a quarterback in the fourth quarter. Period. End of story. We have a comment. He's locked in. Yeah, here's the thing about Jared Goff. He's definitely locked in. And when he's in the fourth quarter, he seems like a different person. You know, if we go back to the Rams days where, you know, he was struggling in the fourth quarter, that was one of his big bugaboos in the LA. He's really turning it around. And it's a credit to Ben Johnson, it's a credit to Dan Campbell having confidence in Jared Goff that he's going to get the job done. But overall, the offense in the fourth quarter, they really pick it up and they do a damn good job. Now, we have a problem with the third quarter, but we'll get to that in a moment. But all in all, Jared Goff playing his best football of his career. And going to San Francisco or Santa Clara, where they played the 49ers, you're going to need him. You're going to need him. And I thought one of the biggest things about Jared Goff was the splits that he had in the game. If you look at this, when he was kept clean on 71% of his dropbacks, he was 23 for 32 with 71.9 completion percentage, 228 yards. Under pressure, 7 for 11, 63% completion rating, 59 yards. Not blitz, he was 72%, 0.7, 140 yards. And then on 50% of his dropbacks, he was blitzed. He was 14 for 21, 66.7% completion rating, and 147 yards. So when you look at that, I don't care who you are. Jared Goff has done a hell of a good job with this team. He's done a hell of a good job. And I think the one thing that a lot of people need to understand is that boy's about to get paid this offseason. He's about to get paid. Because when you look at these stats, under pressure and when blitz, those are good-ass stats. You know, there's a lot of quarterbacks in the league where when they're under pressure, their completion rating is like 59, 58, 57. That's how it goes. But Jared Goff has held his composure, and he's done a pretty damn good job at that. Let's go to the comments. April Rose says he's balling, and yeah, he is definitely balling, and he's playing damn good. And you know what? I don't think Brad Holmes gets enough credit for the Matthew Stafford trade, because when you think of it in totality, you got Jahmyr Gibbs, you got Jameson Williams, you got Sam Laporta. That's a win on itself. Then you think about, you got Brian Branch on the defensive end, you got Fatu Malafamu on the defensive end, and Jared Goff. Brad Holmes destroyed that trade with the LA Rams, and I know the LA Rams got what they wanted in a Super Bowl, but with the players I just named, Gibbs, Branch, Laporta, J-Mo, these are guys that are going to bring you into the next age. And listen, this team's only going to get better as we go on. This is not the end of it. This is just the beginning, and this Detroit team is playing very, very good. I wanted to go back for a moment, because when Derek Barnes made that game-sealing interception, I went, wow, what a great first draft that Brad Holmes had. Because, you know, I think everyone expected Derek Barnes to be a pretty damn good player. I didn't think we expected him to be this good. You know, he's a good run stopper, does a damn good job. Here's the thing. I want you to look at this. This is a changing draft. 112 overall in the NFL in Brad Holmes' first draft. He drafted Amon-Ra St. Brown. Okay? Back to back, this is who they drafted. 112, Amon-Ra. 113, Derek Barnes. When you think about the players that he drafted in that first draft, think about it. A guy who got you in the NFC Championship game with the game sealing and interception. A guy who is your number one wide receiver in Amon-Ra St. Brown. You know, in years past, when we talked about GMs from Detroit, we always talked about they didn't make the picks in the fifth and sixth and fourth rounds. You know, they always relied on the first round. And if you always rely on the first round as a general manager, you're cooked. You're done. Nothing's going to happen. But Brad Holmes, in his first draft, just look at it. 112, St. Brown. 113, Derek Barnes. And those guys played a key role in you advancing to the NFC Championship. And it's great to see. Because, you know, look, I think for years we all wanted a general manager who made the right picks, made the right things, did the right things. You finally got him. I mean, you just think about this draft that you have right now. This is another one. CBS Sports, they said they're ranking the most important rookies in the championship game, according to Cody Benjamin. Number one is Jahmyr Gibbs. Number two is Kansas City's Rashee Rice, the wide receiver from SMU. Number three is Sam Laporta. Number four is Zay Flowers. Five is Brian Branch. When you think that you have three of the top rookies in the championship weekend, that tells you everything you need to know about your general manager, Brad Holmes. Literally, that's what it tells you, because he drafted the three best rookies in this championship weekend. And they're only going to get better. They're only going to get better. When you look forward to 2-3 years from now, you don't think these guys are going to get better? You don't think Sam Laporta or Brian Branch or Jahmyr Gibbs are going to get better? We're already starting to see Jahmyr Gibbs be a more complete runner. Did you see what he did to Antoine Winfield, a Pro Bowl safety? Juked him out of his shoes. Let's go to the comments. We had some comments. We said, Tony Roberts, I worry about Jonah Jackson that we will be exposed to the blitz from these extremely talented linebackers that the 49ers have. Tony, that's a good observation, a good point. Here's what I will say. One of the guys who has been one of the worst players on this offensive line this year has been Jonah Jackson. And I wonder what his contract is truly going to be like, because most of the pressure does come from Jonah Jackson. Most of the pressure that Jared Goff has comes from Jonah Jackson. I'm wondering what that contract looks like. But here's the thing. Oshika, he came in and he was brutal. So you have a good comment there, because that is a worry thing. That is worrisome. You would love to go into this game having a full complementary of your offensive line. You'd love to have Jonah Jackson. You'd love to have your full complement of people. But sometimes it's just not the case. And Frank Ragnow, he's also dealing with the injury, but you know he's going to gut it out. Justin Fitzpatrick on Facebook says, we don't hear nothing about Sheila. That woman gets all the praise than everyone else. She's the foundation point of wanting to be a winner. Here's what I'll say about that. And Justin brings up a great point. Justin brings up a great point about Sheila. Because I don't think people understand what Sheila did to create this winning atmosphere. You know, let's go back to when they fired Matt Patricia and Bob Quinn. That whole organization was fractured. There was obviously some pieces that needed to be addressed. There need to be mending of the fences. So she brings in a guy who knows what he's talking about, a football guy, and says, Chris, I need your help. She goes and hires Chris Spielman. Okay. Now, most people would be like, oh, you're just going to hire a football guy. But we know Chris Spielman. He's a football guy. He knows his football, and he's a tremendous leader. And you could tell from the moment they did that Sheila was looking to do something different. They hired Brad Holmes. They hired Dan Campbell. They didn't let Brad Holmes hire his guy. They hired them both. And it's worked out perfectly because they're basically best buds. You see him in a locker room. You see him on draft day with the Inside the Den on the Lions YouTube. And you just go, if she wouldn't have took the way to do it, if she wouldn't have went out and did it herself, hiring Chris Spielman, hiring the people that she hired, having Chris Spielman be kind of like an influencer in how she learns the game, she went out and got those people. And Justin, he's totally right. Sheila doesn't get enough credit with this whole organization because she put it together. She brought the people in that know the most about football, and she does not get the most of the credit. And the most of the credit should go to her. We have True Terrell says 49ers is going to win. Detroit had he's a 49ers fan. So Detroit had a great season. No doubt we win for NFC Championship 49ers. Look, we're going to get into it on Thursday about the whole game. I want to see the injury reports. If Deebo Samuel doesn't play, that's a huge, huge deal. We'll get into that on the Thursday pod. But I think this game is kind of these two teams mirror each other. You know, the way that these offensive lines play, the running backs, the quarterbacks kind of mirror each other, the wide receivers kind of mirror each other, the tight ends kind of mirror each other. I think the only difference that the 49ers have, better linebacker core, better defensive line overall, better defense overall. But I think the Detroit Lions defense has done a pretty damn good job. I know they give up a lot of yards, but they do limit the points. It's gonna be crucial to see what Detroit does. I mean, they're not gonna be able to sit back and let Brandon Ayuk and George Kittle and Christian McCaffrey run all over the field. They gotta make plays and they gotta force turnovers, and that's the biggest thing about this weekend. We're gonna get to that on the Thursday pod. This is kind of like a recap of what we were doing, but yeah, this 49ers game. There's a lot of mismatches for the Detroit Lions. There's also some mismatches for the Detroit Lions on the 49ers side. We'll get to it. It's going to be crazy, but I got some more stats I've got to kind of research. Ryan Dobbs. Why aren't they spreading the field more with J-Mo? As fast as he is and as a half step is open or slant routes with his speed. You know, Ryan, I kind of wondered the same thing. I don't know when they're... One of my biggest bugaboos about Ben Johnson has been the inability to use Jameson Williams in the right spots. I feel like with a guy like Jameson Williams, if you get him out in space, you get him free, he can make things happen. With that speed, it's uncanny, right? But at the same time, I know that he was coming back off, you know, off the suspension, and he was trying to get acclimated with Jared Goff because Jared Goff's a timing kind of guy, and it seems like they got some timing on there. So I'm kind of flabbergasted to why they haven't gave J-Mo kind of like a slant route or a streak, try to get him out in space, something like that. I mean, they did it against New Orleans, they did it against Dallas. I'm waiting for them to do it again because that's what they need to do. I'm just as perplexed as you, if we're going to be totally honest. I don't know why they aren't using J-Mo to his full potential. If they use J-Mo to his full potential, I think they could really have some mismatches that they could exploit. But it's going to be interesting to see what they do on this game because I think they're going to need it. I think they're going to need J-Mo to kind of open up the field. Those linebackers that they have for the 49ers, Warner and Dre Greenlaw, they're pretty damn good. And I know that the Lions like to pass over the middle. I know the Lions like to do some things in the middle, but they're going to have to get someone on the outside that's going to, you know, kind of open up the game. We have some more comments. Davis says, just run the ball and we will win. I don't think it's that simple. I don't think it's that simple. When you look at this game, those linebackers are so good for the 49ers, you just can't run the ball and think you're going to be fine. You got to pass the ball. You got to do play action. You got to make plays happen. It can't be just running the ball 24/7. You got to freaking do play action. You're going to have to complete some passes downfield. And that's why J-Mo is so huge. And the last comment with Ryan, he said, why aren't they using Jameson? Well, this is the perfect week to use Jameson because the middle is going to be clogged because Dre Greenlaw, Fred Warner, those guys are going to be clogged in the middle. And not to mention this defensive line that the 49ers have, it's disruptive. They pin their ears back. Nick Bosa, Chase Young. The one thing you can take advantage of with Chase Young is his run defense skills. He likes to get caught up field sometimes. So that's how you can get done. That's what I think. John says, Decker has been the worst, not Jackson. If you go look at the stats, John, Jonah Jackson has been the worst. The most pressures came from him and that left side. Now you're right on Jonah and Decker both had some struggles this year, but that's what it's coming down to. You got to look inside the stats. I'll pull up the stats and I'll post them on the Detroit Lions News podcast page. But when you see the stats, you're going to be like, okay, that's why. All right. Can Skipper play at guard? We've seen him play at guard before. I don't know if it's his natural position. We've seen him play there before, though. I'm interested to see who takes his spot this week with Jackson being out. It'll be interesting to see what happens with Jackson being out. You can put Skipper there. You can put Awoshika there. You're going to have there's going to have to be some dilemmas on how are you going to deal with this front four like Eric Armstead. And we all know if we go back to kind of what Eric Armstead said about Dan Skipper, this could be a motivational ploy by Dan Campbell if he was smart, to be honest. I saw the Kansas City game where they put Kelce in the backfield. What I was wondering, why don't we, with our two talented running backs, Gibbs and Montgomery, play them together for a series? I believe it would be a defensive nightmare for San Fran. Yeah. Look, I heard that Ben Johnson came up with all these plays for Jahmyr Gibbs, Dave Montgomery. I heard it all, right? I heard that he had both of them in the backfield at the same time. Haven't saw it. I heard all these crazy plays. Haven't saw it. Where are these plays? You know, Ben Johnson has probably one of the more talented offensive units, and I feel like there's been times where they haven't been used properly, if we're going to be totally honest with each other. Because I look at Jahmyr Gibbs and I look at Dave Montgomery, like Ken said in the comments, if you put them in the backfield together, who are you attacking? Let's say let's just play in dilemma. You fake the handoff to Dave Montgomery, but Jahmyr Gibbs gets the ball. The defense isn't going to know how to game plan against that. You know, it's kind of like you haven't shown this on tape, so you can go with it. This would be the perfect week to go with it. And if Ben Johnson did that, I'd be totally impressed. But there have been some parts of Ben Johnson where I'm not impressed by the way that he kind of – there's some players that you could totally utilize. Like, you know, Ryan said it, J-Mo, Ken said it. Why aren't we using Gibbs and Montgomery in the same backfield? This is what I've been saying all year. Yeah, I'm kind of frustrated with it because I think that there's more potential with this offense than it's had, you know. Let's go to more comments. Let's go. What he has been doing with this team without the ball in his hand is so undervalued. Plenty of dogs that want to eat. What are we talking about? Oh. Hold up. Not a chance. Keep on underestimating the Lions. I don't know I don't know where this is coming from. Like, what am I underestimating? The fact that, you know, there's definitely mismatches for the Lions and there's definitely mismatches for the 49ers. Let's just be honest. Oh, and Nathan says in bringing back the legends like Barry and Kelvin. I don't think that's a huge thing for the franchise. I think bringing Chris Spielman back was the biggest thing for the franchise that you could have. That's my opinion. There are only 5 starters this front office didn't draft or pick up in free agency over a period of 3 years with a constant improvement. You know what, Nick? You're right. And, you know, it goes understated. A lot of people don't understand. Like, when you have a general manager who can go out and find talent and put you in the NFC championship game 3 years later, that's pretty freaking special, man. I know the NFL, you could rebuild quickly, but dude, that's a totally different ball game. I mean, just think about it like this. The Detroit Lions have been in the NFC Championship game the same as the Dallas Cowboys. They haven't done nothing. E. Kenna says, one Kirby Joseph hit and Debo will be heading to the locker room. Yeah, I don't think that'll help his prestige in the whole thing. No, boy. Greg says Fred Warner and Greg Greenlaw are two of the best coverage linebackers in the league. Thank you for shedding some light on that, Joe. Look, Greg, you're right. Here's the thing about it. I don't think people are aware of this. I hope they're more aware of this, but like, you're not going to be able to go over the middle like you are right now. You're just not. You know, Fred Warner and Dre Greenlaw, they're two of the best linebackers in the league. The 49ers are way ahead of you in the rebuild stage. They've been constant, you know, NFC title team. So the fact that they're a little bit better than you in some positions, it's not a slight at the Lions at all. They've just been doing this longer. And John Lynch, give him credit. Both these guys that he picked up, they weren't first round picks. They're, I think Fred Warner was a third round pick. Greenlaw was a fifth round pick. That's what good GMs do. Now, if you want to talk about Sean Lynch screwing the pooch, and that's why you can't do the same with Jared Goff. You know, John Lynch traded up to get a guy like Trey Lance, Solomon Thomas. He screwed the pooch on a couple of those first round picks. If you can run, you can pass. Running always opens a pass. That's true. Greg Rice says again, please sleep. People sleeping on Niners said despite playing horribly versus Packers, playing in the rain, Debo coming out, they still pulled away. Here's what I will say about this. Greg's totally right about this, but here's the thing. If Debo doesn't play, their offense is completely different without Debo on the field. It's just a fact. Like, if you go back over the games that they have not played, when Debo's not in, they're kind of a different offense. It's kind of like if you took St. Brown out of the offense for the Detroit Lions. If he doesn't play this weekend, that's huge. But it's this is a team in the 49ers. I think a lot of people are downplaying. You know, they've seen the Packers doing what the Packers were doing. And yes, there are some things that you can take away from that game and be like, we should emulate that in our game plan. But overall, if you look at that game, like, yeah, the 49ers started to pull away when they were doing pretty damn good. And it's, yeah, they were playing in the rain. That kind of hampers some things as well. It's just, look, was it rust with the 49ers? Did they play? Was there advantages you could take advantage of? I'm pretty sure Dan Campbell sees some of those, like running the ball. So that'd be interesting. Ekinna brings up a good stat. Niners are 0-3 when they give 100 yards rushing. Not an easy feat, but we should be able to run behind the tackles this Sunday. The one thing I will say about this game, okay? You might have Nick Bosa on Penei Sewell. And if there's ever a matchup that you should be most confident in, that's the matchup. Now, the matchup that kind of is a little bit of a mismatch is Taylor Decker and pass pro against Chase Young. That's kind of something to watch out for. But like I said before, one of Chase Young's biggest weaknesses is run defense. He kind of gets caught up field. If you watch some of the film on any other game, like the All 22, there's times in the Packer game where he got caught up field. He didn't do a good enough job, and that's where they got stuck. Brian Stevenson, anywhere on James Houston, got to imagine he's playing. Now, this is an interesting one right here, because if James Houston can play, huge, huge. Now, Dan Campbell said over and over and over again that, you know, he's just trying to get him up to game shape. You know, TJ Lang said it, that, you know, they're trying at this point in the season, you know, he's been out since week two. They're trying to get him up to game shape, though, so he's not limited on snaps when he comes in. That's one of the things that you kind of got to manage. I know people wanted to see James Houston last week, but if you're trying to get him up with the football shape, like, there's only so much time. And they had to activate him, or they weren't going to be able to activate him for the rest of the year. Expect the Niners' old D-line coach Chris Korchek to put Bosa on the island and stack the other three linemen on the other side one-on-one versus Decker. That's what I'm saying, Greg. If there was a matchup that I would love to see, it would be Sewell on Bosa. But I got to imagine that they're going to put Bosa on Decker. I mean, that's just a reality. And hopefully Decker plays as good as he did last week, because if he does, Lions might win the game. If he doesn't, Lions are losing the game. You know, Nick Bosa is a once-in-a-generation type guy, in my opinion. He's way better than Joey Bosa. He's just he's a game rocker. And if he gets going, that's not going to be a good recipe for the Detroit Lions. So, you know, a lot of people mentioned in the comments above, got to run the ball, got to keep him off balance. That'll be the key. But, you know, the 49ers run defense is really damn good. So it's going to be crucial to kind of get that run game going. And hopefully you can get some holes like Aaron Jones did. The one thing I will say that if you do keep it close like the Packers did, you got to force turnovers. You got to force turnovers. There is no other way you're beating the 49ers than forcing turnovers, period. And this is a game that the defense, they have to bring their A game. You know, the last week they got two turnovers. Was a difference in the game. This week you're probably going to need the same. You know, look, you come down to the playoffs, right? It's about turnovers. It's about getting those turnovers, because those are game-changing plays. And I look at Brock Purdy, and I know that he has the ability to turn over the ball a lot. That's what you got to look at when you look at Brock Purdy and this offense. Steve said, enjoyed seeing shameless plug on news. I didn't have no shame. If you guys missed it, I was on the news. Let's see, right there. Yep, right here. I was at the game, so it was a lot of fun, man. It was loud as hell. I just got my hearing back, so we're all good to go. So that was good to see. Let's see. Lions 28, San Francisco 27. Moody misses a 49-yarder at the end of the game. The way Eddie Murray missed a field goal years ago against the Niners, by Monty Clark, was caught holding his hands on his chin. This is kind of the part I think a lot of people are not looking at. Special teams. I know that the 49ers have a great punter like the Detroit Lions. I know that both these kickers are a little bit shaky. So could it come down to the kickers? Potentially, yes. Jake Moody, as much as I liked him coming out of college, hasn't been great. Michael Badgley, as great as that kick was in the Rams game, you're going outside, you're going to be kicking outside. I'm a little bit hesitant. What Ken said, could he be right? Maybe. Nick says, the number one reason I believe this team can get it done this week is will. If the talent doesn't complement, we may lose a close one, but they won't outwill this team. And I agree with you. I agree with you 100%. You know, the way that this team has came out game after game, especially on the road, you know, they're better on the road than they are at home. As strange as that might sound, this team kind of relishes being on the road. Is it strange? Potentially, yes. But you've seen them go to Kansas City and win. You know, they didn't have a good day at Baltimore. Wasn't their best effort. And they lost. But they went to Tampa Bay and won. They beat some good teams on the road and you know, and when they had to, and they did a pretty damn good job. So that's what you got to look at. I like this team on the road. I know there's a lot of things that, you know, I know people look at the home record in the last two home games, but I feel like when you're on the road, you kind of have like less of like a, you have nothing to lose basically. I like the way that this team will play on the road, especially Dan Campbell coaching. Another thing that people need to really realize, Kyle Shanahan at times will lose the game on his own accord. Like, one of the major sticking points I have going into Thursday for the podcast is Kyle Shanahan will sometimes outsmart himself to where the 49ers lose the game. That's one of the things I look at with Kyle Shanahan. Is he conservative, and is Dan Campbell aggressive? Because aggressiveness won the LA Rams game. Conservativeness from Sean McVay lost that game. Totally and utterly, that's what lost the game, and that's what won the game for Detroit. Detroit went for it on the fourth down, and Sean McVay said, we're going to kick the field goals. We're going to kick the field goals. We're going to punt the ball to Detroit, and they're not going to give it back. That's kind of the thing I'm looking at with this whole coaching matchup, because what Kyle Shanahan has shown over his career, that he is capable of making disastrous mistakes in the fourth quarter. That's what we do know. Ikena says, how was Ford Field? Were you surprised when you came out passing the ball? No, I wasn't. Well, a little bit. I think, okay, the first couple plays were they threw a screen to Dave Montgomery. They missed him on the throw. That kind of shocked me. I didn't think they'd come out with a screen. But what I was shocked about was how well they passed the ball. And I knew that they were going to have to pass the ball to beat Tampa Bay because that run defense is pretty damn good for Tampa Bay. You know, you think about those linebackers and that defensive line, it's a pretty formidable force. But I thought Detroit ran really freaking good. And I thought one of the players I thought had a great game was Jahmyr Gibbs. You know, I think that was Jahmyr Gibbs' coming out party. I know he's had some coming out parties before. But that run he had on the touchdown was absolutely phenomenal. The way that he juked Antoine Winfield, who's a stud safety, out of his shoes, that taught me everything I need to know about this kid. And I just think that if they take that in the Frisco and they win that and they do the same things they did against Tampa Bay, I think they have a pretty damn good shot. Castaballs, to beat the rush, do tight end screens, loosen them up. Look, to beat the rush, you do have to do screens. And I do like this from our perspective. You got St. Brown. You got Jameson Williams who could do screens. You have Jahmyr Gibbs who could do screens. And with Todd, what you're saying, that's totally up this offense's repertoire. I think that'd be great for this team. Ryan says, if our defense is a bend don't break, our front gets pressure, we have ball hawks in the back end, we hit hard, maybe just haven't gelled yet with the injured guys getting back. On paper, to me, we look a lot more solid than the total yards given up. You know, I get that. You know, here's the thing. I know people, they go at Cam Sutton, but if you look at the last four players he's had to go against, Justin Jefferson twice, CeeDee Lamb, Puka Nacua, Mike Evans. I thought he did a pretty damn good job against Mike Evans, if we're going to be totally honest. I do feel like this defense has more talent. Ultimately, there needs to be another – if we look forward to like kind of like the offseason, you're going to need another defensive end. You're going to need another cornerback. And if you do those two things right, you could be looking at an all-world defense. The way Hutch is playing, I mean, I wanted to show this, but the way Hutch is playing, look at this. Aiden Hutchinson has 17 quarterback pressures in the playoffs this season. The next highest player is 11. Aiden Hutchinson has been playing out of his mind. And if you got Aiden Hutchinson, a guy who he could go off of, you know, I kind of like, if James Houston comes back and is anything close to what he was last season, that's great. We need that. But you're going to need more going into next season. You can't just rely on James Houston. You got to go out and get a defensive end to help Aiden Hutchinson, because Hutch, he's playing out of his mind. He's playing out of his mind. Now there's going to become a point in this whole playoff thing where they're going to put all the coverage to Aiden Hutchinson, and then someone's going to have to do the dirty work. Who's going to do it? Who's capable of doing it? Aleem? That's probably it. I mean, there's no one else that's really doing a good enough job getting pressure on the quarterback, especially from the other end position. Nick says every go for it situation has built this team to be ready for a game like that. All or nothing. They're built for this, man. Yes, they are. And you know what? I'm gonna say this again. Kyle Shanahan is a more conservative head coach. You know, he's gonna do the same thing that Sean McVay did with the LA Rams and Detroit Lions. He's gonna punt the ball. He's done this numerous times. There's been reasons that they've lost games in the playoffs. He's gone conservative. He's done some stupid things. You've seen it in the Super Bowl. You know, we're gonna pass the ball sometimes, and then we're gonna run it, and then here comes the Patriots come back from 28-3. Look, I have questions about Kyle Shanahan's game management skills. If Dan Campbell's on his game, potentially that could be the make or break situation, in my opinion. Robert Mueller says, that's another scammer. All these scammers coming on my live stream, get off. Niners give up a lot of catches out of the backfield. Also, they don't have a 6'5 wide receiver to contend with. You're right. You're totally right. They do give up a lot of catches out of the backfield. They haven't had to contend with the wide receivers we had to contend with. I do like Tre'Davious Ward as a cornerback. I think he does a pretty damn good job. Ultimately, where the 49ers get their best defensive effort is that front seven, that linebacker core with Warner, Greenlaw, that front four with, you know, Bosa, Armstead, Young. They have some good pieces up there. And when they're rolling, it's because they're getting pressure on the quarterback. And that's one of the things that we have to kind of go away with. What's your take on the Super Bowl script videos going around? I think it's stupid that people have those Super Bowl script videos. Just think about it like this, okay? If you were a if you were a competitive person like Dan Campbell, are you agreeing to a Super Bowl script? Absolutely effing not. Absolutely effing not. Now, where I do buy some of this kind of stuff is the books have said that they cannot have the Lions win because it's a liability issue. And if you look at the liability, if you look at the betting trends right now for this for the Super Bowl winning, you have the Detroit Lions. I'm gonna get rid of this comment. You have the Detroit Lions at the bottom plus 700. And then you have the 49ers as a favorite right now. So, look, I know that this team, I know that people, they go back to the whole thing about the Super Bowl script and all that stuff. Just ask yourself this. If you're Dan Campbell, you're Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, if you're any player that's not going to be in the Super Bowl script, are you agreeing to that? Absolutely not. You're not putting your body on the line for that bullshit. You're just not. Zach Davis says, go Lions, go Lions. Dan Gamble has to play smart. Our offense needs to stay out there. San Francisco is too explosive for our defense. Yeah, but here's the thing. I think that you've went against some really, really explosive offenses, and you've held them at bay the last couple weeks. You know, Dallas, L.A., you held them at bay. You know, they didn't score what they were expected to score. You did a pretty damn good job in the red zone. That's the difference right there. And they, you know, everyone could say, well, they had CMC with the 49ers. They had Kyron Williams. They had Tony Pollard. Okay. The Cowboys were averaging 40 points at home, and you held them to 20. You should have won that freaking game. So, look, the defense has been playing better. I just think they can get better moving forward, and we'll see how it goes. I think they have a really good shot to stun them, but you got to get turnovers. That's going to be the name of the game. Team with the most turnovers, I think, wins this game. That's what I think. It's going to be either Jared Goff or it's going to be Brock Purdy making the mistakes. And I think, obviously, if Jared Goff's making mistakes, that's not going to be good. But it's not going to be good if either quarterbacks make mistakes. What is the one matchup that you feel is the most instrumental in our success? And why is it AG versus Kalashina? Oh, my God. Okay, so I haven't gone deep into their stats and everything, but the one matchup I have to look at, and I think is the most important, is our offensive line versus their defensive line. If we could hold their defensive line to a less than stellar day, they're going to have trouble. You know, we can attack them and we can make some things happen. If they start getting pressure on Jared Goff and they start forcing him into pressure and throws that he didn't want to make, then you're really putting yourself in a bad position for this team to have success. So that's what I look at with this game and the defensive versus offensive line. For the offensive line for the Lions, defensive line for the 49ers, that's the kind of matchup I'm looking at. I'm going to dive more into the stats and see if there's a matchup I could see. But we're going to have that on a Thursday podcast. So we'll post it what time we're going to be going live, probably about 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock on Thursday, because it's going to be our game preview. I'm also going to preview the offense on Wednesday and defense on Friday, so stay tuned for that. And then we're going to have the full podcast on Thursday. I just find it odd, Jaden says, I just find it odd that the Collars have conceded the last 3 years, but I still think we should take this win. I don't care what anybody says, we have a legitimate shot at beating the Niners. Look, you always have a legitimate shot. You know, are the Lions ahead of schedule? Absolutely. Should the Lions beat the 49ers? I mean, there's things that the 49ers have that the Lions don't have, and that's the critical thing right now. You know, the Lions are 3 years into a rebuild, and they're in the NFC Championship game. That says a lot about Brad Holmes, and that only bodes well for the future. You look at the future, and you're like, what else is Brad Holmes capable of? But I do think the Lions have a shot to beat the Niners. I really do. So it's going to be interesting. Mosley, Kenneth says Mosley's three repping, sharing all that he knows about San Francisco. That's the least he could do for his two plays this season. Yeah, you know, I find it very odd that, you know, a lot of people came in the season. They were hoping Emmanuel Mosley would be playing by the Carolina game. He got hurt in the Carolina game. And unfortunately, at that point in time, you're rolling with Jerry Jacobs. Then he started rolling with Kendall Vildor. And it just, it hasn't been what Brad Holmes imagined. I don't think he imagined his one starting cornerback to be a guy he picked up out of the scrap heap with Kendall Vildor. And I don't think he expected to start Jerry Jacobs majority of the year. You know, Jerry Jacobs is a good depth cornerback. But all in all, like, you just have to be better. You have to get better corners to help out Cameron Sutton. You need a true number one. That's where it comes from. Darcy says, my guy, he's going to have this show on tomorrow with John McAroon. So you guys got to tune in at 7:30. Am I right, Darcy? Yes. Packers ran for 134 yards on the Niners. Yes, they did. And, you know, Greg said it earlier about, you know, maybe it was a rain or something like that. You can run on the Niners. This offense can run. Now, it's going to be predicated on what do you do with that run? Do you open up the pass game? Do you not make the plays downfield? It has to open up the plays downfield. That's the major thing. Run the ball. But you have to have the quarterback that makes the throws. And I thought that Jordan Love missed a lot of throws that he shouldn't have had. He should have had against the 49ers. If he would have hit one or two of those throws, Packers win the game. Also, Packers win the game if their kicker doesn't miss that field goal. That's the difference in the game. Like, a lot of people, they look at it like, oh, Jordan Love threw that pass at the end of the game. If Anders Carlson makes that kick, it's a tie game. Doesn't matter what happens. Nick says, I see Gibbs with 180 all-purpose yards and two touchdowns in a Lions W, 35-24. Look, if Jahmyr Gibbs does that, Lions win. If he has 180 all-purpose yards, the Lions win. That's a great call by you, Nick. Great call. I think that's one of the ways that the Lions can win. Also, one of the ways the Lions can win is turnovers. And also, another way the Lions can win is if they can get people out in the middle of the field and get them kind of loose. If St. Brown gets loose or LaPorta or JMO is the one that gets loose. This has to be a JMO game. This has to be a JMO game. You have to get him out in open field. And then what you're going to do is when JMO gets out in open field, they're going to start pushing back. The safeties are going to start to push back, right? And then that's when you can hit him over the middle. So that'll be interesting. C-Ray says they say in the NFL is rigged. I know what they're saying. But the fact of the matter is this. What NFL player is going to admit is going to, you know, be perfectly fine with you rigging the game? No one. Brian says, Sutton isn't even a cornerback too. We need help in the offseason. Here's what I will say. You need to get more pressure on the quarterback. Period. Full stop. End of story. Got to get more pressure on the quarterback. Period. Cam Sutton would be a great cornerback too. If he had a cornerback one and there was another person pressuring the quarterback, it can't just be Hutch. You know, for a while, the Lions were one of the worst pass rushing teams. You know, only person that was getting pressure was Hutch, and he needs another person to play with. And honestly, you need to get someone on the defensive end and you need to get another corner because your corners right now, Cameron Sutton can't be the only guy that you know is going to be your cornerback one and two. Like, that just doesn't happen. You need to get more pressure, period. Look at the 49ers. Let's look at the 49ers. Why are they so good? They get pressure on the quarterback. Who are their corners? Do you know who their corners are? We know one, Tre'Davious Ward. Is he much better than Cam Sutton? Not really. But guess what? That front four, they get a lot of pressure on the quarterback. They make life a living hell for a quarterback. And when you're a quarterback and you got to get rid of the ball sooner than you want to, mistakes happen. Incompletions happen. You want an NFL? Oh, we're going to NFL script again. You want an NFL script? The Lions winning its first Super Bowl, coming full circle, knocking off the champs on the final game to mirror the first game of the season. It seems to be a moneymaker to me if there was a script. If there was a script, let me tell you what would be the ultimate script. I know this is kind of ridiculous, but the Lions haven't won a road playoff game since 1957. They beat the San Francisco 49ers on the road. In the championship game, who did they play? The Cleveland Browns. Who are the Cleveland Browns right now? The Baltimore Ravens. That's kind of your NFL script. Like, oh, whoa. Baltimore is Cleveland. San Francisco is still San Francisco. Kind of, that's that full circle kind of thing. Fingers crossed, no phantom hands to the face call. Same ref for the upcoming game. Yeah, he was also the ref for the Raiders game. So that's a little bit of recency that you've had this guy in a game that you've won. So look, we can all hammer back that game, but I don't know. It sucks, but we've had a lot of bad luck with ref, so that doesn't matter. Not to say there is one. I'm just saying we're not fighting the NFL. That's a good point. That's from Ryan on the Facebook. Nick says, do you see Mosley come back next year? And is he the answer opposite son? Who is here for the next 2 years? No one. There's no one. That's why I think this is a kind of huge offseason for Brett Holmes, because there's not really anyone at that second cornerback position besides Cam Sutton. And I think Brett Holmes, this is another thing Brett Holmes has done extremely well. He kind of forecasted that, if Mosley doesn't go the way that he thinks it's going to go, that he can go out and get a corner the next year. Sutton's the only corner that's kind of has a long-term deal. I think his was 3 years. But Jerry Jacobs, he's going to be on a one-year contract. Will Harris, he signed for a one-year contract. Obviously, got the young kids like Dorsey and Gilmore, and I think Vildor is on a one-year contract too. So there's a lot of opportunities to get more better corners in the free agency, in the draft, maybe even make a trade. There's a lot of opportunities there. There's a lot of cap flexibility, and Brett Holmes has done a pretty damn good job at that. So as we look forward to this game, obviously the Detroit Lions. Hold up, I gotta put this comment away. Here's the FanDuel line. Lions are 6.5 dogs, +250 on the money line, and the over under is 50.5. That means they're expecting it to be a lower scoring game. One of the things I did want to press on is if you look at the leading rusher for last week's game, Jahmyr Gibbs. Leader in receptions, Laporta. Leading tackler, Brian Branch. All rookies. Again, masterclass job by Brett Holmes. Let's go to some more comments. Darcy says ratings are up because of the Lions. Ratings are up because of the Lions. Rain stops out here in the Bay Area on Wednesday, so it should be enough time to get the field in good shape. Oh, so you do live in the Bay Area. Okay, nice. Keep us up to date with the weather. You can, we're going to do some videos so you can tag on the Facebook, Detroit Lions this podcast. T-Ray says, I'm booked for Vegas already. Let's go Lions. See, I can't do that. I can't do that. I just can't. I'm kind of a superstitious kind of guy. I mean, I wore the same clothes, not clothes. I've washed it, obviously. But I've wore the same shirt, the same sweatshirt, and the same hat all season long. I'm not switching it up. I'm just not. Maybe that's a hockey player in me, but I'm not switching the shit up. We've been doing pretty damn good. Robert says, if we want to make a good game, we have to control McCaffrey and limit his touches and pressure Purdy. And we will come on top as long as we don't turn the ball over. Robert, great. This is great commentary right here. This is great commentary. You have to control McCaffrey. You have to limit his touches. The way you limit his touches, make them play from behind. You know, make them play from behind. They can't run the ball all the time. Obviously, it's more hard said than done, but you got to get Purdy to, you got to pressure Purdy, and he will come, you know, he's going to make a mistake. So I love the way that he broke down this game, and that's the way that it has to be. You have to, and I'll say this, the way that Detroit Lions win this game on Sunday, time of possession, dominate time of possession. You know who did that all of their career? Bill Belichick with the Patriots. They ran the shit out of the ball. They didn't give the other team, which had more talent, any chances to kind of, didn't give Matt any extra chances. And they did a pretty damn good job. James McAdams says they're calling for 65 and partly cloudy. Last I checked, fingers crossed. Both these quarterbacks do good in the rain. So it'll be very interesting to see what these quarterbacks would do in the rain. And honestly, it would become a total shit show, to be honest. But I look at both these quarterbacks, and the one quarterback that makes the most mistakes, they're not going to win this game. And that's where you gotta come from. So we'll see that. Nick says on the Facebook, so based on this year and the talks from both sides, it sounds like Jared gets a new deal in the offseason. If he, God willing, takes us to a Super Bowl, how does that affect the number he's going to get from us? He'll deserve it, but that changes some things with all these rookies, contracts, guys who will need to get paid soon in the coming years. You know, here's the thing. I think this is the most crucial thing. You know, I've talked to Darcy. I've talked to Darcy about this. I've also talked to a couple other people about this, but the one thing I'm going to say about this is Jared Goff is dealing. I would rather get it done right now than later. Because if Baker Mayfield gets his deal, that could affect the number. If Dak Prescott, which the most overrated quarterback in the league, gets his deal, that could affect the number. I would rather they did it, you know, in the middle of the season with the bye week. But now that we're here, like if Goff does go to the Super Bowl, God willing, that price is gonna go up, guys. Hate to tell you. Now, how do they structure it? That's gonna be the key. You know, a lot of people talk to me, like they say, oh, if we give him $47.5 million, you know, as long as, I'm gonna say this right now, if you structure it the right way, it won't hinder your cap. You know, the cap is expected to go up, right? So you're expected not to, you know, really give anybody, you know, you're not really expected to, you know, it's not going to harbor you. You know, most starters in the NFL, it's 13 to 17% quarterbacks take up the cap. Now, if you're a lower tier quarterback, it's 13. If you're in the middle tier, it's 15. And if you're Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, Herbert, it's 17. It's historically been like that since the cap's been implemented. So if Jared Goff's inside that range, you could obviously work contracts, and that's why Mike Disner staying on the Detroit Lions, that's a huge thing from that's huge for the Detroit Lions. Ryan says, with our strong fan base, how does that work with numbers in the stands? Do they exhaust every effort selling to Niner tickets, and how loud does it get without a dome factor wise? I was talking with this with Erickson on the Riff. I was on the Squad podcast today. I'll post on the Facebook page so you guys could listen to it. It was a really good podcast. But what I will say about Frisco is when they moved from Candlelight Park, right, and they moved to Santa Clara, it feels like some of their home field advantage kind of went away. It doesn't seem nearly as loud. It's an hour and a half away from downtown San Francisco. So overall, I think, you know, these Lions fans buying up the tickets like they are, they're not buying them from they're buying from secondary sellers. So people who bought, you know, season tickets for the 49ers that aren't staying, they're probably going to capitalize on the Detroit Lions thinking that they're going to get, you know, a chance to go to the Super Bowl or something like that. That's what they're probably doing. Robert says wind will be a factor as well in California and have been to plenty of 49ers games. And that's the key right there, Robert. Again, another great comment by Robert, because I'm looking at the special teams battle. And I look at these two field goal kickers. And they've been struggling. You know, Badgley hasn't been that bad, but Moody has struggled. And I feel like if there's a kind of a thing that could change the game, it's kind of what happened in the Green Bay game. When Carlson missed that kick against, you know, that field goal, it changed the game. It changed the momentum of the game. And if he would have made that kick, it was 24-24. They wouldn't have lost that game, to be honest. So that's something that you got to look at. And Robert's bringing up a great point. Neil Darcy says, got Neil booked from Woodward Sports. Oh, Neil Rule. That's my guy. Robert. He says he will be at the game and he lives in California, have been to plenty of games. Wind can be a factor in the game. Like I just said, you know, these two field goal kickers, they haven't been that reliable. You know as well as I know, Robert, that, you know, Jake Moody has been kind of spotty. So has Michael Badgley. And I feel like this game really could come down to the kickers. And as scary as that is for the Lions fans, it's probably just as scary for the 49ers fans, because they advanced because Carlson missed that kick. Let's be honest. Like it really changed the course of the game. If Jordan Love was going down the field with the tie game, do you think he's going to force that throw? Probably not. We're going with the wind factor. They're saying under 5 mph wind forecasts. We'll see what it comes to at game time. That'll be huge. You know, like I said, I think kicking could be a very big factor in this game. Huge. All right. I got some more things for you. Obviously, if you guys, if we look at the PFF defense, these were the 10 top Lions players this week against the Buccaneers. Jalen Reeves-Maybe was number one. Benito Jones, number two. Hutch, three. Azarike, he's been doing pretty damn good as a PFF. I don't know what to take out of these Pro Football Focus rankings, because I think they're a little bit shoddy sometimes, but Gardner Johnson was five, Tyson Alu was six, and that's surprising. Brian Branch, seven, Derek Barnes, eight, Anzalone, nine, and Malcolm Rodriguez, 10. You know, there's a lot of yellow at the bottom, so that's kind of concerning. We also have, before we go, obviously, we are all aware that the Detroit Lions have signed 3-time Pro Bowl tight end Zach Ertz. He signed with the Lions per sources. Seems like it's going to become true. Ertz will start out on the practice squad with the plans to potentially elevate him for the NFC Championship game, a boost for the final stretch. Now, Dan Campbell said on the morning show today that they'll see what he can do, and they'll see if they're going to elevate him onto the active roster. Now, I have a feeling that they're going to elevate him on the active roster, because the Detroit Lions only have two active tight ends on the roster right now. And I don't really think they want to go into a game without three. So I would expect Zach Ertz to be on the roster. And if that's the case, Zach Ertz is a pretty damn good player. He struggled, but he has chemistry with the Lions tight end coach, Shane Hayden, who came from Arizona, when that's where Zach Ertz came from as well. We have some more comments. Wind is what worries me with Goff. Never seen him do good with it as a factor. Great point. Wind is crucial, because I think a lot of quarterbacks don't have, I think these two quarterbacks in general, they're not really guys that have complete arm strength. So if I look at these two quarterbacks, I'm kind of like, okay, is wind a factor? Absolutely for these two guys. So if wind is a factor, it's for both of them. It's going to kind of cancel it out. What's the news on Leaf? DPJ made a poor decision last week in our area of that game that could be really a difference maker in this game. Yeah, I missed that at the game. I was at the game, you know, and I totally missed that. If he would have just took advantage of the new rule where if you fair catch it, you get out to 25. He didn't do that. That's a key part of the game. You know, the Lions, they really want good special teams. I'm interested to see what Dave Phipp does. I'm interested to see what Dan Campbell does. I don't think Khalif Raymond will be playing this week. I'd be shocked. We'll see what the practice reports say in the next couple of days, but that's what's going to happen. I strongly feel if we can go into Lambeau Field, we can go into Santa Clara and win. Here's the thing. Where Robert, another great point by Robert on the Facebook page. If you can go into Arrowhead on banner night and win, why can't you go into Santa Clara and win? You think about it. It's banner night for the Kansas City Chiefs. They are unveiling a Super Bowl banner, and you upshowed them on national TV on their banner night. You go into Lambeau Field, you start off hot as hell, and you beat the Packers in Lambeau Field. Now you had a little bugaboo at Baltimore, but look, Baltimore is a tough place to play, and there a lot of NFC teams go there and they die, so it's just the way it is. But this Lions team on the road, I feel like they're more focused. I feel like they play a little bit looser. And I think they're gonna really show out this week. I really think they're gonna give their best effort. And if the best effort comes in a way and a win, all right. If it comes out in a loss, look, that's kind of the thing you get. My guy Ashanti. It's really happening. We are in the NFC Championship. Here's the thing. I don't think anybody expected to be in the NFC Championship at this point. We're in year three. Year three of Brad Holmes and Dan Campbell, and you're in the NFC Championship. We go back to the beginning of the podcast when I was talking about the rookies. You know, we were talking about the rookies earlier about the top. You got the top three. You got three of the top six rookies on your roster. Three of the top six. Your rookies were the rusher, leading rusher, the leading receiver, and the leading tackler. The future is bright for this Lions team. The future is totally bright for this team, and they're gonna be well built in the future, especially if Brett Holmes gets another draft, another offseason. But let's go take advantage of where we are right now with San Francisco. You know, there's obviously some matchups that we can kind of exploit. I'm gonna be researching hard tomorrow, getting ready for the Thursday podcast, because I really have some stats I want to get into. I want to look at everything with San Francisco, see where they struggle, see where they look good, and we're gonna get into that. But yeah, we are in the NFC Championship game, and if we can take advantage of this, and God forbid go to the Super Bowl, this has been a successful year no matter what. That would be gravy. That would be gravy. We need Houston back, Barry says. It'd be really nice to get James Houston back this week, right? It'd be great to get James Houston back, and I hope we can. But we need a defensive end no matter what in the offseason, so that'll be interesting. Ashanti says, I feel like Goff has an advantage. Call me crazy. Here's why I will agree with you, Ashanti. I think Jared Goff has the advantage in one significant category. I think it's calm demeanor. And everyone's going to be like, what is calm demeanor? Well, when you have calm demeanor and you're not making mistakes that, you know, young players make, you're not getting rattled off little things, I think that goes a big way. And then, you know, we talked about it earlier in the podcast about how great Jared Goff is doing in the fourth quarter since week 10. Look at it. Pass yards per game in the fourth quarter, 92.7. That's first in the NFL. Completion percentage, 73.9%. That's first in the NFL. Pass TDs, 7. Tied for first in the NFL. Passer rating, 113.7. That's first in the NFL. When you look at that right there, if you could just get to the fourth quarter and be a one-score game, I have more confidence in Jared Goff than I do Brock Purdy. And it's no slight at the kid, Brock Purdy. He's a damn good player, and he's very good. But when you get to the fourth quarter, that's where the pros separate themselves from the youngins. And we've seen it with CJ Stroud. The moment got a little bit too big in the playoffs. Obviously, he was on the road. But when you're a team, like when you're a guy like Jared Goff and you've been to the Super Bowl, that's huge. When you're playing as good as you are in the fourth quarter, that's absolutely huge. Like I said, a playoff experience advantage. That's huge. He's better in the fourth quarter, too. I think Goff struggles more in the cold. We should be good. Yeah, you know, Goff does struggle in the cold, but we'll see how it goes. Nick says, I was in Baltimore, and that embarrassment is what put a fire in them. With everyone talking about that happening again this weekend, as if we will be outclassed. Hell no. I think that Baltimore – okay, there's only one team in the league that could do what Baltimore did, and that's Baltimore. Like, is Brock Purdy anywhere near close to Lamar Jackson? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. The reason that Baltimore won that game like they did is because Lamar Jackson played like he has played all season long. He made great throws. He was great, you know, scrambling out of the pocket, making plays inside the pocket. Lamar Jackson's the MVP. The way he played this year, he's just been absolutely phenomenal. There's a lot of pressure on him in this AFC championship game, so that's going to be interesting to see, too. C-Ray says, yo, this live is dope. Keep it up, bro. Thank you. I appreciate it. I appreciate everyone for watching. It's been this and this. This has been my first year I've been going live, so there's been some kinks in the armor kind of thing where I've been trying to figure it out. Obviously, we got some more stuff we're going to do. But this has been great. You know, we're having a lot of fun, and obviously I'm doing it by myself today, but so I'm trying to do the best I can. But I appreciate everyone, man. This has been it's so fun talking football on Lions. And if you missed any of this podcast, it's on Spotify and Apple and wherever you get your podcasts. Lions signed Mac Fano to the practice squad. What are your thoughts? He looks like a beast on film. Yeah, you know, I will get to that. I actually have it on my phone right now. They did make some practice squad. They did make some practice squad moves. And, you know, what I'm interested to see is if he gets called to the active roster. Do I think he gets called up to active roster? Probably not. But I think that's a good kind of good player to have on the practice squad. And if they have to use him, he's definitely a damn good player. And I also take the other guy that they signed is an interesting one. It's a running back, Jake Funk from, the LA Rams. Jared Goff kind of has a chemistry with him. I think they played 1 year together or something. But it's interesting to see what they did with the practice squad. Matt does have a great film. I looked actually, when I forget where did he come out of? That's what I was trying to figure out earlier, but I couldn't figure it out. All right, he came out of. Oh man, Nebraska. Okay, that's where I thought I saw him. I knew it was a Big Ten school. But yeah, does Nebraska? I think he has a, you know. I think he could be really good. The only thing I'm a little bit weary of is obviously signed to the practice squad. So we'll see what he could do. I think Dan Skipper at guard this week could be very interesting. I think I'm a little bit worried about Coyote Ishika and Eric Armstead. And I think Eric Armstead's, you know, calling out Dan Skipper, that could be a great matchup to watch. Barry says they struggle with covering tight ends. Well, they've always. I think here's the thing about this. A lot of people go, they'll talk about tight ends and they'll talk about covering tight ends. Guys, I don't know if you're aware of this, but there's only a couple teams in the league that can cover tight ends. You know, if you have a linebacker who can cover tight end, you basically won the lottery. Those guys are far and few between. Usually you have a safety on them, which how is a safety going to match up with a tight end? Probably not. You know, there's very few safeties that are going to match up a tight end. I think Tyrann Mathieu is one of the only ones that does a pretty damn good job. But overall, a lot of teams struggle covering a tight end. That's why it's so crucial to have a guy like Sam Laporta moving forward. The tight end is really the biggest part of the wheel that a lot of teams miss. You know, you look at the top, you look at all these teams in the AS in the championship weekend, Kels. Even when Mark Andrews is healthy, Mark Andrews. You got George Kittle for San Francisco. You got the Lions have Sam Laporta. Is there any correlation? All have great tight ends. I mean, that's the key to I think a lot of people miss out on that. Like, we dealt with so much tight end bullcrap. Remember, we had Brandon Pettigrew and Eric Ebron that we thought were going to be great? Nowhere close to those four. Nowhere close. Thanks to Joe Chat. Thanks to Shanta. I appreciate it. You guys got to go follow Lions Avenue. Ashante and Walter, they do a damn good show on Sundays. Saturdays and Thursday, they're going to do a show too, 8:30. So they'll be right after we get done with our show, they'll be going. So you'll have plenty of content. Scott says, what are we going to do with Jonah's position? Like I said, you could put Dan Skipper there. You're going to get Coyote Ishika there probably. It's going to be interesting to see what they do at guard. Because Ishika did not play good in relief. You got to hope that that's just a matchup that he wasn't prepared for. You know, obviously coming in cold, going against Kalijah Kansi and Vita Vea. Not someone that you really want to come in cold against, am I right? But, you know, he did a pretty damn good job. He held up nicely. I know he gave up four pressures, but, again, when you're going against Vita Vea and Kalijah Kansi, you're not going to be perfect. So that's how it gets to go. This is a very interesting point by E. Kenna. He says, Goff coming home, played at Cal. Great point. He is coming home to the Bay Area. And that's, I mean, I don't know about you, but would it fire me up a little bit coming home, playing my hometown team, chance to knock him out of the playoffs? Absolutely. Absolutely. That'd fire me up. It fires me up and I'm not even playing. How do you think the boys will do a travel, the time change, and the night game all in the with the emotion factor? We need to get Jared in rhythm early and get him disrupting so everyone settles in. I will say this again. I feel like the Lions are better on the road than they are at home. And I think it's because you're feeling looser. Now, will the time change have an effect? I'm sure it will, but I'm sure Dan Campbell and that staff, they have a damn good preparation for how to get ready for that. You know, when you're in these teams in the pros, you got people on staff that are good sleep experts, health experts, and they're just helping you out, and they're going to get you up to speed. So I'm not worried about the time change. I know it can get a lot of people, but at this time, this is what you pay your medical staff for. People who help you sleep, you know, the food, everything. This is why you have a good, competent organization, because when you get to that level, this is what really separates good organizations from bad organizations, and you're gonna have a good glimpse of that. Ryan says on the Facebook, he says Skipper not a good option. Do I think Skipper is a good option? I do. Do I think he's a great option? I mean, yeah, I think he could be a good option. I think he played there before last year. So, I mean, it's going to be interesting to see what Dan Campbell does, because obviously he's going to have a void of matchup, and whoever he puts at guard, I think that's the one that he thinks is going to give him the best chance. And I think him putting Ishika in, I think he likes Ishika at the guard position. We'll see what happens, but, you know, Ishika has played a couple games this year. He played against Vegas, and he played against last week. So, I think he's playing a couple games. Scott replies to Ryan, says that's who I want in there. I would rather be in there. So there you go. I think the one thing I'm looking at with Dan Skipper is it playing out of position? That's the one thing I look at with that. So that's kind of what I'm saying. Joe on YouTube says, holy, we made it to the NFC Championship. Come on, Joe. And he says, make no mistake, Dan will have this team ready to play. I'm not worried about Dan having this team to play. I'm really not. I think when you look at this offense, I think when you look at this team in general, I think they're going to be ready to play. I think that they're better on the road than they are at home. That's just the reality of the situation. This has been a damn good team on the road. They beat Kansas City. They beat, like Robert said earlier, they beat Green Bay. They played some good teams on the road, and they've won. And I look at that, and I go, you know what? I have no doubts that Dan Campbell is going to have this team prepared to play in San Francisco this week. Now, for those just joining us, obviously the point spread for this week is 6.5. The money line's 250. I'll have my parlay of the day probably closer to Friday. It doesn't seem like this is going to be a high scoring game with the over under at 15.5, but we'll get to that. And obviously, if you missed it, the Lions are the underdog in terms of all Super Bowl teams, and they're not giving Detroit much of a plus. They're giving them plus 700 shots, so they don't really think the Lions can get to the Super Bowl. But if you go, there was a couple of publications that released it earlier that if the Detroit Lions win the Super Bowl, the books would all take a major loss. And I think they're going all in with it. I think if they lose, if they started putting the money closer to Kansas City, they would have a little bit of trouble. Some more comments before we get out of here. Barry says on Facebook, kind of a coming home for Sun God too. So that's St. Brown. And it is a coming home for St. Brown as well. You know, St. Brown went to USC, which is a little bit farther from LA, but he's still going to be playing in California. I'm sure he has some people over there that he knows. And I'm pretty sure this is a great spot for St. Brown, you know, and Jared Goff. You know, they're both great players coming back to their home state, and I'm sure they want to show out. It's more than a reservation. Ryan says, what percentage of Levi Stadium will be Lions fans on Sunday? I read a statistic that there's been more tickets bought up by Lions fans than Packer fans last week. And they're predicting 8-9% of Lions fans, but I think that number is going to go up. Like I said earlier, there's a group that messaged me earlier in the week saying that they have 5,000 to 7,000 people going out there, and they have some people that are former Michiganders that are staying out there in Silicon Valley that are going to go to the game too as Lions fans. And I could see this being like the Kansas City Chiefs all over again, to be honest. And I think if there's a lot of Lions fans there, that'll be such a momentum builder for this team. They're going to go out their hair on fire, because obviously when this fan base travels, it fires that team up. Madison says, it may be a close-scoring game, but we got this. I think it's going to be close-scoring for sure. I think the team that's going to win this game is going to come down to turnovers. It's going to come down to the offensive defensive line. And it's going to come down to these quarterbacks. Who's the better quarterback of this game? And that's going to be huge. Barry updates me. He says, ticket tracker is saying close to 20% now. Holy crap. Damn. That's really good. Because if these guys come out and they see blue, man, they are going to be so freaking fired up, man. I think a lot of the Lions players were starstruck when they seen you take over Green Bay and seeing you take over Kansas City on banner night. Like, that's freaking nuts, dude. That's nuts. There's no fan base that took over Kansas City like the Detroit Lions have done. And that's just crazy to me. But this has been a good podcast. We went an hour and a half, man, just by myself. I was talking all this time. If you missed any part of the podcast, you can go on Apple, Spotify, anywhere you get your podcasts. We're on there. We're going to go live Thursday, so set your alarms Thursday at 6 o'clock. We're going to go live. We're going to have more Detroit Lions content. Obviously, before we leave, I'm going to give you a little bit of what to expect this week on the Detroit Lions News podcast page. We're going to give you all up-to-date news, so stay tuned to that. We're going to have graphics. We're going to have a bunch of stuff coming out, so please stay tuned for that. Follow the page, and I'm appreciative of every one of you for watching. Thank you for watching. Go subscribe and rate on Apple. I would totally appreciate it. Thank you for guys for being so supportive. It's been great. I loved it. And tomorrow, Darcy's going to have a show on here. We'll have the show on Thursday at 6 o'clock. And Lions Avenue will be on 8:30. And then Russell is on in the morning. So whatever. And then Ryan says we're going to take over the stamp. And then Barry says Goff said the chant for him calmed him down. No, that's pretty killer, man. That's pretty killer. Thank you guys for watching. I appreciate it. Thank you for everyone for watching. Please, thank you for it was a great show. You guys made the show freaking awesome, and I appreciate you guys very much. All Lions fans, you're phenomenal, man. And we'll see you in the next podcast. Thank you guys for watching, and go Lions! And wow, we got someone from Mexico, Fernando. We will see you guys in the next podcast. I'm your host, Joe Chapp. I'll see you guys Thursday as we talk more Lions football. And thank you for watching again. It was one of the best podcasts we had. Thank you.